What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line I have my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
I'm energized and revitalized. The NBA is back. It's exciting. I'm here.
You're here. You don't sound that pumped up, man. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I am just through the roof right now. We are defending our championship in the preseason. It's great.
You brought the championship all the way to Japan.
Wow. Yeah, at least no games were canceled out there, too.
No, Japan loves the NBA. For now.
And I'm sure some other scandal will come out of Japan eventually. And then Adam Silver just ignored like he did with China.
Smart man. I would, too.
Get that money.
You know it. Rajan Walia, the banger in the paint. How you feeling?
You know what? I'm trying to read up a bit about China so I can make a comment like everybody else. But no, it's exciting. Drafting season. We actually didn't have our fantasy draft, so looking forward to that.
When's that happening?
Next weekend.
Damn, man. Josh, is that when ours is?
Yeah, next Saturday.
Oh my, is Raj secretly part of our league?
Maybe he is.
You couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle it.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. All right, Beyonce.
Hey, I won my league last year, so that's all. Like, my record's 1-0.
Yeah, who were your advisors last year, Raj?
Who are you playing against? A bunch of scrubs.
Yeah, dog. Come on, man.
Not trying to hate, but
you can only play you can only beat the people you play, right? So
that's true. But you had the two best advisors in the game.
Yeah, one of these days we'll, like, you know, bring you up to the actual NBA. Right now in the G League, so.
Yo, right now he's playing in China, bro.
Jeremy Lin over here.
All right, well, let's just get this started. We're going to hit 5 hot topics today. Major questions that I think are on the minds of most, like, hardcore NBA fans. We're going to go a little deeper than usual, but, you know, for you hoop heads out there, this is what you want. First, we will be looking at the new Boston Celtics, a.k.a. Team USA from the 2019 FIBA World Cup. The Boston Celtics sent 4 players there this summer. And now they're all back, and we are starting the Time Lord at center instead of Enes Kanter. Obviously, you have Kemba Walker at the point, and then that wing position just makes absolutely no sense right now. Like, you're going to have guys battling. You're looking at Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Gordon Hayward fighting for 3 spots. Obviously, a lot of questions on, like, you know, who's going to start the games. But realistically, I want to know who's closing out games. Are you going to run Kemba and Marcus Smart together or throw out Jaylen Brown? Dude, this setup is going to be weird. Raj, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, like, kind of what the Celtics did this offseason had a lot of people scratching their heads. But I think with less egos on the roster, Kyrie, I think they could probably figure it out this year. They'll have time. They won't have as much pressure. There's clearly, like, 2 other teams in the East that are the favorites going into this season to come out of the conference. And I do think, like, when it comes down to crunch time, I think the Celtics are going to go the younger route this year. I won't be surprised if Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Kemba are, like, the ones kind of leading the punch going forward. It'll be interesting to see how Gordon Hayward fits into the plans. I feel he's more on the out than in the in, and I think they want those young guys to get some experience, play some crunch minutes. So I think Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Kemba are going to be the 3 main weapons on the offensive floor come crunch time. And I think the Celtics are going to be in a lot of close games, so they'll get a lot of experience this year.
I think Coach Stevens has his favorites, and that's why I think that guys like, you know, Gordon Hayward and Marcus Smart are going to play more than people think. And although a lot of people are talking about Jaylen Brown starting at the 2, I'll believe it when I see it. I still think Marcus Smart is going to start. And either Jaylen Brown or Gordon Hayward is going to come off the bench, and one of them is not going to be very happy. And as you said, it might cause some turmoil in the locker room, this time not a Kyrie, but just overall with guys just not getting the minutes they think they deserve, especially with Tatum and Brown, with their extensions coming up. They want to play as much as possible and prove themselves this year. So it's going to be interesting to see what they can do in a somewhat limited role versus being on another team where they could be, you know, more of a star.
Yeah, the one thing I want to add, the fact that Kemba is on this team and how he fits beside either Smart or Brown, I think, like, just Brown seems to be more effective when the ball's in his hands, and he hasn't really shown much off the ball. And obviously Smart is not an offensive powerhouse, but he gives you that stability on defense. And I think this year he's going to have a more role off the ball and find his niche. Or I think Jaylen Brown later in the year is going to take over his position. I won't be surprised with that.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown is a really good defender, right? Like, he's not Marcus Smart level, but like, he's pretty reliable.
Yeah, but he could be a lot better than he is just based on his body type, like how strong he is. And he's, 6'6", 6'7"?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Super athletic.
So you think Jaylen Brown's going to be the odd man out, eh? That's what we're leaning
towards. I think so. I mean, unless they trade Gordon Hayward if he actually shows out in the early part of the year, which seems unlikely since him and Coach Stevens are boys. So
yeah, Gordon Hayward ain't going anywhere, man. His contract is way too big. Two, the city of Boston loves, you know, white guys, so obviously they're going to try to keep him around as long as they can. And yeah, you're right. Brad Stevens coached him in college. Why would the head coach, who is essentially like the alternate star on this team, allow them to trade away his favorite player? You know what I mean? It makes no sense.
Yeah, whichever store is selling him all that hair gel to would be pretty disappointed if he gets shipped out.
Don't talk trash about the man's hair, okay?
No, I'm just saying, like, he uses so much of it. They must be shipping out a ton of hair gel to him every week, so that's a lot of money going out.
I don't think it matters what team he's playing on, man. I don't think it's a local Boston product that's going in his head right now. Come on, man. Yo,
think it's Amazon?
It's Alibaba.
I mean, they're on the jerseys now, right? So why not?
True. Josh, you probably know this. Raj, can you guess how many rookies they have on this team? 15-man roster. How many rookies are there? Raj?
You lost him.
I would say 5.
What happened there?
No, I pressed the mute button, and like for some reason I was trying to unmute it, but the button like seemed jammed.
Josh, do you know how many rookies?
I'm going to say 4.
Oh, wow. You guys are...
I think I know 4 off the top of my head.
You know 4 off the top of your head?
I think so. Grant Williams.
Okay.
Taco Fall.
Yeah.
That little guard.
Carson Edwards. Yeah.
Edwards.
Yeah, Carson Edwards, yes. Yeah.
And that center they brought over from Yugoslavia or something. Poirier.
Oh, Poirier, good pull.
Is he French?
He's French, yeah. Right. Yugoslavia.
That was close.
That's incredible. So you got 4 guys. I'm impressed. They have 7 rookies on this team.
Wow.
It literally goes...
Like, half the roster. I just pulled up their roster. They have a guy named Max Struss on his team.
Yo, come on, man. That's rude. Like, I don't understand how this team is going to operate this year. Also, where's all their money? Is it just in Kemba and Gordon Hayward?
Yeah, I think they're also trying to... I feel that Boston is still looking for that one piece. They obviously don't have the same assets they did like 2 years ago, but if they build up Jaylen Brown and or Gordon Hayward this year by midseason, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to trade one of these pieces and a pick for a more established forward, because they're in dire need of one.
You mean Enes Kanter is not going to cut it?
Well... I don't want to answer that question because I'm really not about wasting my own time.
You can speak honestly here, man. It's a safe space.
Yeah, well, if you're talking fantasy, maybe he'll get you those offensive rebounds. But if you're talking defense, well, good luck.
This is very true. The fact that you had to start Robert Williams over Enes Kanter is very sad. Very, very sad.
You know, you have 2 teams in the East that are in like the 4-6 range with Indiana and Boston. And the one trade that makes the most sense out of any trade that's been brought up in the last 2 months during the summer when everyone's bored is Domantas Sabonis for Jaylen Brown. Both guys are having extensions coming up. Boston needs a center. Indiana needs a swingman. Just get it over with and just do it already.
Yeah, but I think Sabonis is a more established player. Like, obviously, Jaylen Brown has the potential. No.
Sabonis is definitely more stable.
Yeah, and Bradley, you know what you're getting.
Yeah, but Brown showed up in the playoffs. So that's when it matters.
This is also true.
And plus, you know, teams are always looking for the 6'7 guy that can play defense and shoot. So.
Yeah, the swingman now is much more rare than it used to be when we were growing up, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that Danny Ainge-Larry Bird connection.
Also, I got to bring up one story I heard today on a podcast about Robert Williams. You heard the story about him like having to move next door to the practice facility in order to show up on time. He kept showing up late, so they got him a place like right next to the arena.
Oh my god.
And they're starting this guy, the Time Lord, whatever that even means.
Now we
he's
understand
clearly not
why
a Time he's Lord.
The, now you know why he's the Time Lord.
He's the Alarm Clock Lord now.
Yo, that's incredible. How old is this dude? Robert Williams. 21. Still can't set an alarm clock and wake up. Oh my god. Imagine being a millionaire and not being able to wake up to go to practice. Yeah, holy.
Man. He's lucky he didn't get cut last year.
On the verge of being cut to starting for the team.
And I actually watched the first part of like their first preseason game. They had to take him out after like 3 minutes because he was so nervous. And because he, like, he couldn't get his second win. So he was tired after, like, 3 or 4 minutes being in the game. Then he got brought back, like, a few minutes left in the second quarter.
I love it.
The guy's not even in shape.
I'm sure he's in shape.
Well, when he's running for practice. Like, running to get to practice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. All right. Quickly, where do you think that Boston ends up at the end of the season going into the playoffs? This has to be a playoff team, right?
Yeah, I think Boston is a playoff team. I'm going to say they're going to be fourth.
Wow.
I think them and Indiana and the Raptors are going to be really trying to fight for that 3-6 spot and also maybe throw in the Nets as well. So I think they'll end up 4 or 5. Actually, I'll say 5. I'll say 5. Take it back. 5.
Josh?
Yeah, I'll go with 4th.
Damn. You guys are higher than I thought. I would go like 5-6 for this team. I just don't see it.
The East is so weak, it's hard to see them being sixth.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, depth matters in the regular season, and they have a lot of quality depth, so even if they don't figure it out.
They have depth up to the 7th spot, and then they start rookies. Come on, man.
No, they have 8. They have 8.
Really? We're going to call that 8?
Well, they have guys that want to play, like, 30-plus minutes a game, though. So, you know, if you're playing these guys, like, 30 minutes instead of 34... you're still getting quality depth out of that. Like, you're bringing, like, Gordon Hayward off the bench. That's pretty good.
Yeah, fine. They got... fine. I'll give you 7 quality players, and then it just drops off. I'm not giving you 8.
Yeah, I could see them being out in the first round, though. Easy.
Oh, easy
unless they
money.
Make a trade. Like, this is the one team that needs to make a trade for a center.
Yeah. Ooh.
Get Serge Ibaka on this team. Give us a couple first-round picks. We're good to go.
Talk about a transition, Josh. Good move, my friend.
That's what I do.
What does Kyle Lowry's extension, 1 year for $31 million, mean to this Raptors team? Josh, since you're, you know, apparently our residential Raptor here, you have won the championship. Why don't you tell us? What does this mean?
It changes absolutely nothing. That's what that means. It just means that, you know, Kyle Lowry... along with the you know, the beautiful team that was last year's Raptors, won the championship, and they're rewarding their second-best player, at the time anyway, with a nice extension for the 1 year because they're planning to build for 2021. I don't think it changes anything with regards to, you know, Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka's statuses. I still think if the Raptors are in like the 4-6 range come trade deadline time and a team offers them a decent package, I could definitely see both guys being moved and local hero Chris Boucher taking over the minutes.
Local hero, wow. That's big praise.
I like Chris Boucher. I know he's skinny as a rail, but I mean, he has a nice shot. And he can block some shot. He can move. he's going to move out there. Even if it's a skeleton, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Today's NBA, you can't really get pushed around by most guys in you know, the front lines of bench units, right? There's not many guys coming off the bench are going to push this guy around.
Pop quiz, who weighs more, Chris Boucher or Kevin Durant?
Oof. Kevin Durant's mad skinny, so I'm going to say Chris Boucher.
Alternate third option, Tayshaun Prince.
Oh.
Oh.
That's I think Gal Gadot weighs more than all of them.
Well, she's Superwoman. She should.
Yeah, true.
She's a beast, bro. Come on. So that's not fair. Kevin Durant weighs the most out of all three. How strange. Anyways, so we don't think this team is going to keep it together? You don't think they're going to make the playoff run?
No, they're going to make a playoff run. I mean, for the first round and out. But
that's what I mean, though, because so far we've been saying that they're just going to blow it up halfway through the year. Does this mean that they're going to try to just run it through for the whole year and then go into next year with zero caps or with like all the cap space available? You know what I mean?
Something along those lines. I mean, I think they'll sort of be like the Clippers of last year where they trade, you know, not their best player, obviously, with Gallinari. Or not Gallinari. Yeah,
what's his name? Gasol.
No, Tobias Harris, with him being traded off the team. I think the Raptors are going to probably trade at least one of the centers. And then they'll probably make the playoffs still as like a 5 or 6 seed. And they'll come back and they'll keep trying to develop the younger guys for another year. And then they go out in free agency and trade market and see what they can get.
Mark or Serge?
Or maybe Masai shocks the world and trades for Bradley Beal.
Oh my goodness. That'd be incredible. Not going to happen, but that'd be incredible.
Hey, you never know.
Nah, man. Is it going to be Mark or Serge that has to go? That's the real question. My money's on Mark.
Serge is technically younger, even though he's
technically. I mean, on the books, he's younger, but in real life, yeah, I don't know, man.
If I'm making a playoff run as like a top tier contender, though, I'm taking Mark for sure. But Serge can obviously help a lot of teams too. I predict that Kawhi Leonard will be playing with one of the two centers by the end of the year.
Wow, you think that's gonna happen?
They're not gonna be starting Ivica Zubac come Game 1 of the playoffs.
But that doesn't mean that they can afford Ibaka or Gasol.
I don't think it's going to take that much to get one of those guys on, you know, an expiring contract.
Well, you got to make the money work somehow. Like, at least remotely close to it.
Yeah, but the Clippers have some contracts they can work with, like Mo Harkless and a few other guys, just to make the money work.
Wow, that's a crazy prediction. Did you read that
somewhere?
I just
can't see a championship-level team going into the playoffs with Zubac as their starting center. But that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, I guess. What if Boston tries to go after one of these two?
Yeah, or Steven Adams.
Ooh, Steven Adams shooting threes these days. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Hit his first three, too.
What?
He hit his first three that he took.
Like ever? Or do you mean that night?
No, I mean that night, but I'm pretty sure that's like one of the first threes he's ever taken besides like half-court heaves.
Wow, what a boss. All right, my follow-up question for this Raptors team. What's going to happen with Fred VanVleet after this year? You think they pay him?
Nah, yeah, he's gone.
Really, I think the Raps will pay him in this situation.
Why?
I don't think so. Like, how old is he? What is he, 27, 28?
25.
Really?
Yeah, he's 25. He's a lot younger than I thought. I thought he was 26.
He seems older. Maybe just because he's fat.
Well, that's rude.
Fred, I just can't see them like wanting to pay him like $15 million a year to be their starting point guard going forward. I don't think that's their plan.
Is he a starting point guard caliber player? Let's say on
that's the thing. Like, do you want to pay him as such? I mean, he's going to command that type of money next year, right?
Would you rather have him or Scary Terry?
VanVleet.
Wow, okay. VanVleet or Dragic at this point?
VanVleet.
No, VanVleet.
Damn, so he is a starting caliber point guard, you think?
I mean, on the lower bad team, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. He's like a 20th and below point guard in the league. Okay. And that's like best case.
Let's say VanVleet or, oh man, I'm blanking. Satoransky.
Satoransky.
Okay, okay.
That they're almost the same level. Like, it depends on what you want from your point guard. If you're looking for a point guard that can hit more shots, I would put Van Vliet. More of a facilitator, maybe Satoransky.
Yeah. Okay. So he's a middle tier, like slightly below middle tier point guard is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I think so. And I think with them paying Kyle Lowry for another year at $31 million, I just can't see them bringing back Van Vliet at, you know, $15 million a year over 3 years or whatever he's going to come in.
No, I definitely think, I don't think Lowry's contract has any effect on Van Vliet.
How so? What, like, at all? Well,
no, I don't think so, because, like, if you think about the Raptors and the direction they're going, like, obviously Lowry has the biggest contract, and then it's probably Gasol or Ibaka, and once they clear one of them, they're going to be able to pay Siakam, hopefully, the money that he definitely deserves. And
well, Siakam's getting paid regardless.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's going to get... he's going to get paid, but I feel that the Raptors are still relatively young and they brought on a lot of players on short-term contracts that are, I would say they're fair. Like, they have Stanley Johnson. I believe they still have Ben McLemore.
No, he's on Houston.
Okay.
Shocking, well, on Houston.
Yeah, they still have a lot of players on, I would say, friendly contracts, and they're not long-term commitments. And if you look at Van Vliet, he kind of seems like the natural replacement for Lowry, and they might use him as a trade piece going forward if they do see an opening for a player they really like. But, like, McCaw's on a contract that's probably very reasonable. Hollis Jefferson. Obviously, they have Matt Thomas.
Obviously.
Yes, that's my guy. Obviously.
That's my guy.
Yeah, so they have a lot of players that are on friendly contracts. Like, really, the bulk of their money is now in Kyle Lowry and will be in Siakam. And Lowry's only two more years, and they have to hit a minimum anyway. So I can see there being enough money for Fred VanVleet.
The only way I see him coming back is if he takes a more team-friendly deal where he's at, like, a $10 million clip a year.
No, hell no.
I don't really think it's more so about the money. It's just more so about, like, I don't think Masai sees him as a starting caliber point guard. And I don't think he's going to want to pay him as such. So I think there is a limit on what he's going to offer, obviously, based on that. I don't even think he's a starting caliber point guard. Like, his best role is obviously like a J.J. Barea role from, you know, the Dallas Mavericks championship run.
Yeah.
Sort of like we did last year. Same idea.
Literally, his role last year is the best position for him.
Yeah.
Guy comes off the bench, controls the pace, hits big shots. That's it.
Yeah, but that's valuable in the NBA now. Like second units are, like, very important. And to have a guy who can hit shots, who can facilitate, like, he was, like, in the running for Sixth Man of the Year. He's one of the better players off the bench. Obviously, he's played some very crunch playoff minutes this past postseason. And, like, he's going to be a valuable piece. Like, I if you want to make a team, like, he's one of the best players you can have off the bench. And, yes, if you're going to pay them $25 million, no, that's not going to work. But if you're paying like 15, 16, that's not a bad price to have for a proven player.
Do we think Fred VanVleet gets any better than he did last year? Like, that finals run is the best we're ever going to see him do, right?
Well, remember, he had a very bad finals until halfway through the Milwaukee series.
Or a bad playoffs, you mean?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, bad playoffs until, like, yeah, literally the last 8 games of the playoffs. He just caught fire.
Yeah.
But even, not even just the playoffs, but the whole season up until that point, he was pretty mediocre at best.
Injured, though.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, well, didn't he have a hand injury? So, like, obviously a point guard who handles the ball, like, that's going to affect his game. But I think that's obviously his playoff performance post-Milwaukee or, like, halfway through that series is the best you'll ever get. But he's done it the year before. Like, he was a Sixth Man of the Year candidate. Like, and he was good that year. They had the best second unit in the NBA. Like, he took a huge stride in his game, and he's only made improvements in his shooting or his consistency shooting. So I think he's definitely one of the better point guards, and especially him coming off the bench. Imagine, like, a top 25 point guard coming off the bench.
Yeah, but at the same time, you want to tie up $15 million when your whole plan is for 2021, right?
Yeah, but by 2021, Kyle Lowry's off the books.
And then Siakam's going to be at a big number, and then you got to decide on OG too.
Yeah, but I rather OG is still very unproven. Like, he has to show this year. This is his year. This is his Siakam year.
That's what we said last year.
Yeah, well, we were hoping both of them like performed. OG obviously had some circumstances, but like, if OG doesn't perform this year, especially given the opportunity he has, I think that ceiling that everyone talks about is going to come crashing down on him.
All right.
I'm just going to say this now. Van Vliet is going to leave, and Terrence Davis is going to become the new Van Vliet.
I think they end up paying him. I won't like the move, but I think they'll still end up paying him for at least like 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years, I wouldn't be surprised, $50
million.
Oof.
Oh, no. Ugh. I was expecting like 15 a year.
Yeah, but if Corey Joseph got the money he got, like...
That's because Sacramento's stupid.
Yeah, that's majorly up to the executives in the room, right? Like, if they're going to offer it to him. I don't think Masai is just going to hand over money like that.
All right, well, then he's going to be walking out the door. So I do think he's going to get paid, and he will stay. So
I'm looking forward to Terrence Davis taking over. It's going to be great.
All right, sounds good to me, Josh. Let's move on to the New Orleans Pelicans. This is a team who obviously had a major makeover during the summer. We're looking at new faces like Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, who we've talked about a lot, J.J. Redick, Derek Favors, obviously Zion Williamson. This is a pretty much a brand new team compared to last year, right? Last year, we were looking at Etuan Moore starting at the three. Etuan Moore is like 6'5", max. And my man was starting at the small forward position. Now, these guys actually have a real team, and they're taking an approach where they're putting Drew Holiday out there at the most. You know what I mean? All the marketing is behind Drew. The center of attention. Obviously, everyone wants to see Zion's mix or like highlights or mixtapes, but the team itself is saying Drew is our leader. Drew is our guy. He's the one that we're going to ride with. How do I say this elegantly? Does Zion's development get impacted because of this? Like, do we think that he's just going to become a star slowly and not have pressure on him, or will the media attention just eventually take over and, you know, he still sees everything like we expect him to?
I think you already answered your own question.
I think I'm just thinking out loud, man. I'm just spitballing.
I mean, the pressure's off Zion because of what, you know, their GM did in saying that and saying that he's the franchise guy, he's the guy going forward. They're not putting all the pressure on Zion to do everything out of the gate, and with having all these different, you know, newcomers in that can handle the ball a little bit, there's less pressure on Zion to create everything and, you know, be the franchise guy on a terrible team. He's actually on a decent team. But I just got to say one thing. I am out on Brandon Ingram. I'm officially off the bandwagon.
Thank you.
Haven't we been saying that already?
No, I mean, like, I'm totally off. Like, I don't even think he's just... Yeah, like, whoever pays him is going to pay for it because, I don't know. What does he do well? Like, he should be a really good defensive player, and he's good. But then offensively, he's just a train wreck. Like, his shot is just not improved at all. And then he doesn't move the ball. Like, I'm watching in preseason. He has a lot of good, you know, teammates around him, obviously. And he's basically doing the Corey Maggette out there. He just dribbles a ball in one spot for a while, and then he just barrels into the lane, tries to run guys over and get to the free throw line.
Wait, this just in. Brandon Ingram is actually related to Andrew Wiggins.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, but
I'd still take Brandon Ingram all day over Wiggins.
Yeah.
This is a no Wiggins podcast.
But Noah, to actually talk about the Pelicans and your question with Zion, I think the pressure's off, but saying that Drew Holiday's the face of your franchise and all the marketing, like, yes, you're allowing him to focus more on his game, but I think everyone, including Zion and everyone in the NBA, all the fans know that Zion is the face. It's just a distraction tactic. The expectation is going to be on Zion to show what he's been showing in the preseason, is in the sense that he's going to play like 20, at least 30 minutes a game probably. And he's going to be expected to be the rookie of the year. There's a clear expectation from the media, from the fans, probably from the New Orleans fans, wherever they are, that he's going to be like their shining star in a tough season, especially with like kind of expectations and watching their team change drastically. He's supposed to be that shining star this year, and he's going to be the one selling the tickets, not Drew Holiday.
Those fans don't exist.
Yeah, I'm still trying to find a Pelicans fan.
They only exist in the city when they're hype. See, that anyways, that's what I was really drawing at. Like, obviously, Josh, you said that David Griffin is, you know, making all these speeches or, you know, public announcements saying that Drew's our guy, Drew's our leader. But when you turn on ESPN or you go to, you know, any Instagram account, any Twitter account, you're going to see Zion first, right? They're going to talk about Zion way before they talk about Drew in any game. So does this, what I'm trying to say is the media narrative just going to overtake what Griffin is saying? Because I think it has to.
No, it definitely is, but the strategy going in was smart. You know, it's never going to work, obviously, but, you know, it's a good idea at the time. I think later on in the year, too, like, Zion's probably going to take over more of the load when they try to figure out what they're going to do with the roster.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these guys are not going to be in the roster come February.
Ooh, who do you think is gone?
I think Ingram's probably going to get traded, because they have to choose between him and Lonzo if they even want either one of them, since both their contracts are coming up. And then, you know, guys like Derek Favors and J.J. Redick are on team-friendly deals, so I can definitely see them going to a contending team and getting a first-round pick back for each of them.
Ooh, what if Boston got Derek Favors?
Again, not a bad move. I like Favors. He's a good player.
Favors would literally help any team that needs a big man.
He'd be perfect on Boston.
He just accepted his role a long time ago with Utah. Like, he used to be a guy with New Jersey that wanted the ball and was trying to post up and hit these fadeaways, and now he's just a guy who just fits. He barely even touched the ball in preseason so far, so it's different seeing him out there. He sort of seems like just a regular old role player. I think he's much better than that.
Do you know how much he got paid? Do you remember?
$10 million or so.
That's not bad. For a guy who doesn't really say anything? Just accepts his role?
He just does favors.
Lol.
God, that was terrible.
Raj's delay. He's making $17 million. Not quite the 10 that you suggested, but sure.
He deserves every cent.
Yeah, he's definitely earned his stripes in the NBA.
All right, well, that didn't last as long as I expected it to. Do you guys like Zion? Do we think he'll be good? How's that for a question?
That's a different question. The first question was, is he really the face of the franchise, or is it going to be Drew Holiday? But do I like him? I think he's good for the NBA. I think he's a new face. Obviously there's a lot of excitement around him. His effectiveness in the NBA has yet to be determined, but he's a unique type of player. His game, we haven't seen that very much at the NBA level. So I think it's exciting to see what's going to happen.
I think he has a lot more skill than people thought, especially me. Like, I didn't think he'd be this skillful, especially around the basket. Like, he takes contact and he's able to finish through it from 5 to 10 feet. Whereas you would think that he's just a guy that just gets to the rim and just stuffs on people. But he has, you know, some nice moves around the rim. He uses the board pretty well.
And yeah, well,
he's
can't
got good touch too.
You can't dunk everything.
No, for sure. But he's making like 5-foot flip shots and floaters. And you don't really expect that from a player who we've, you know, seen many mixtapes of just dunking on people. To have that kind of grace and skill at 19 years old. And he made a couple like really nice kickout passes too in the last couple games too. He's got good vision for, you know, his size, which he's not even that big, to be honest. He's 6'6".
No, he's
short. But just in terms of him being like a brick wall, 280 pounds, it's pretty impressive how he moves.
Do you want to change your pick for Rookie of the Year?
Nah, I'm thinking about it now.
He's going to be the face of the franchise soon.
I took Jaw, right?
I guess so. I don't know. We'll probably do an actual preview on that soon.
Actually, you know what? The narrative's going to be around Zion, so yeah, I'll take Zion.
Of course the narrative's around Zion, man. Come on now. Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. Super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. All right, let's move on. Let's stay in the West and talk about your favorite player, Josh. Super Mario Hezonja. I'm kidding. It's not actually about Hezonja.
Please, please.
But it is about his team, though. My question is, now that the Portland Trailblazers have taken on such, let's say, unstable players, such as Super Mario Hezonja and Hassan Whiteside, will we see Dame's leadership go to another level? Like, as in, can he fix these guys? Or are they just lost causes?
Oh, Mario Hezonja is not a lost cause. Let's just get that straight, first of all. Mario Hezonja is going to be in contention for Sixth Man of the Year this year.
you don't sound very confident.
Say that with a straight face, please.
Yeah. I tried. I still like Hezonja, though. I still think he's got some potential. But I think Whiteside's going to have a big year. I mean, being able to play with those guards and, you know, have the opportunities that he's going to have on the offensive glass, especially with, you know, how most teams play Dame and CJ with their big man coming up and either doubling or at least showing on pick and rolls. With Hassan Whiteside rolling to the rim, he's going to be able to get a lot of open looks and easy putback opportunities. But the one area where he has to improve is his passing, because if they, you know, end up double teaming the guards, and they actually play against a pretty good defensive team, he's going to have to make decisions when they have advantage situations, when they're in like 4-on-3s. Like the Draymond situation, where he gets the ball in the middle of the floor and he's got to make the right pass. Hassan Whiteside's probably the worst player in the NBA in that situation right now. I think he had like a negative assist to turnover ratio his entire career. So he's going to have to figure that part of his game out. That's one thing that Nurkic got really good at last year, which is why he was so effective.
Yes.
And he also was able to hit those little floater shots, which Hassan Whiteside hasn't really shown yet either. So he's going to have to, you know, show a little bit of improvement in the game because he's going to play a lot of minutes this year. And then they also have to figure out their swingman position too, because they have a bunch of unproven left-handed guys with, you know, Bazemore and Rodney Hood, guys who, you know, really should be shooting guards that are going to have to play small forward because they have nobody else at that position.
Yeah, I think just to change the topic a bit away from Mario Hezonja, but I guess to his position, like I'm really interested to see like who starts in that 3-4 position for Portland, because before it was they had like players that were with them for a while in Harkless and Aminu, and now it's like it's going to be a battle for those positions, and there isn't really a clear established starter for the 3-4 position.
They're starting Zach Collins at the 4.
Okay, well, yeah, that's interesting.
And it's going to be Bazemore at the 3. I think that they like Rodney Hood off the bench, man.
Well, what about Hezonja or Little? But probably Hezonja
is off the bench. Hezonja is off the bench for sure.
Yeah, but Little?
What about Little? He's a rookie.
Like, Little ain't gonna be playing.
Yeah, man, he ain't playing that much. Like he'll get 20 minutes a game tops. But he won't be starting, and he will not be in crunch time. I guarantee you.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be playing the key minutes in the game, but yeah.
But he'll get like 20 minutes a game.
Yeah,
which is not not a knock, but. He's going on to a very
I think with
depth.
You saying he's going to play 20 minutes a game, that means that Hezonja is not going to play that much. I don't agree with that.
Well, Mario's got to fight his way out.
Nah, I don't really see Little playing that much.
You don't think so?
I think that you're right. They're probably going to start Bazemore because they need somebody to guard the best, you know, player on the other team. On the wing, especially. Which is why Rodney Hood should not be starting.
Yeah.
But overall, I don't really see Nasir Little, a rookie, playing over, you know, a bunch of these other guards and forwards. Start off the year anyway.
Guess what Nasir Little's nickname is on Basketball Reference?
Biggie.
What the hell? That was pretty good, I'm not gonna lie. Philosopher Nas.
Oh my.
Well, that was close. It was in the region.
Kind of corny guys, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that didn't last very long. Will Hassan Whiteside get paid this year? His contract is up. He's at 27. Does he go back to like a 20 to 5 range?
Just because he's a big man, and he'll probably still end up making more than $15 million a year.
Hard to disagree.
No, what? I think he'll. What do you think he's gonna make?
What is he now? Like 30?
He's 30 flat.
Oh man, there's no way he's getting paid that amount of money.
I think he'll make like 20.
I think players like him are becoming extinct, right? Not extinct, but, you know, less valuable. And JV, who's much younger, is sort of like the same type of player. He's making, what, $15 million a year because he's way younger. I don't really see Hassan Whiteside getting like a longer-term contract, getting paid more than $10 million a year. I think he might end up getting paid like for 2 years, maybe $12 million a year at most.
How much is DeAndre Jordan making? Do you remember?
He's making $10 million a year, and that's only because his friends want him to come to Brooklyn.
He's only making 10?
Yeah, he's only making... And that's because, like Josh mentioned, Irving and Durant took a little cuts to make sure he was on the roster.
Oh, damn. Okay, well, I take it back. I thought DeAndre was making like 20 or 15 at least. Yeah, I take it all back.
Just have to look around the NBA and just be like, which team is going to pay Hassan Whiteside $15 million a year? For 3 years. I just don't see it.
I don't think 3 years. Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe the Hornets.
yeah, that's a good point.
Hornets will pay anybody.
I mean, a lot of bad teams are going to have cap space coming up this offseason. There's nobody really to spend your money on, so maybe Hassan Whiteside will get paid for a couple of years.
Yeah. Yo, quick bit of trivia. Deron Williams is still being paid by the Brooklyn Nets. $5.5 million for this year. Deron Williams.
Wait, so where's the trivia?
Sorry, not a trivia, but just a little footnote. Not trivia. Ooh. My bad.
Good for him and Josh Smith still getting paid in 2019 by NBA teams.
God. Deron Williams. When was the last time you heard that name? 2015? 2014?
Man, he used to be so good, too.
Jesus Christ.
He became a walking donut.
All right.
When Felton saw me, he started. His mouth got real moist at that point.
So gross. Oh, no. All right, let's stay in Brooklyn, man. Sorry. Who do we think is going to get more minutes at this point? Jared Allen or DeAndre Jordan, since we're talking about him?
Jared Allen, until KD comes back next year. Then DeAndre's taking over all the minutes.
And then DeAndre pulls rank because KD is behind him?
Or they just get rid of Jared Allen because his contract will be up.
His contract is up next year?
I think so.
Oh, they have a team option for him next year.
It'd be funny if they don't exercise a team option despite him playing well.
That'd be wild. And it's only for $4
million. They're just like, no, we're good with DeAndre.
Yep. DeAndre and Wilson Chandler, hold it down.
Yeah, they can take PEDs together.
No, Wilson Chandler's playing in preseason, eh?
Yeah, might as well get that working while he can.
Yeah. Before he has to sit for like 25 games.
Man, he got suspended for 25 games, didn't he?
So you really think that they're going to stick with Jordan? Like, ideally, I'd want a relative split between the two, right? Like, Jordan plays 22 minutes, and then Jared Allen plays like 26.
But Allen's the future. I think even like as Josh mentioned, like the type of centers that Hassan Whiteside are, DeAndre, are becoming more extinct, and the more mobile, switch friendly, not that DeAndre is not, but he's getting up there in age. I think they're more valuable, and I think Jared Allen's gonna, like, he made some big strides last year, and I think he's gonna be the center of the future for the Nets. So I think they're gonna play him more. Like maybe DeAndre plays in the big games or when Kyrie wants him to. But I think Jared Allen's gonna play the bulk of the minutes.
Man, that's crazy to think a guy who was like I don't know, a major piece of this team last playoff run, and now he's not going to be able to close out games because their star player has like a friend they want to bring in. That's a wild concept to me. But that's a new NBA, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you were playing pickup ball with a bunch of strangers and one of your boys showed up who's not very good at basketball, you'd kick one of the strangers off the team for your boy to play with you.
Yeah, shouts to you, Kevin Doe.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I hope he's actually listening.
I hope so too. Or else this whole podcast is a waste.
More like Kevin Don't.
Ouch. All right, well, that's all the time we got for this week. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. Hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.